Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a four-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News, where there's so much extraordinary news today. And some of it is occurring right at our southern border, where another contingent of Republican lawmakers have come back with extraordinary, harrowing stories of what's going on. Children packed side by side by side without COVID protections, without COVID testing, in rooms that weren't designed to hold a quarter or an eighth of what they're holding. Customs and Border Patrol officers pleading to go back to the policies of the Donald Trump era, and security threats becoming more and more apparent with the arrests of terrorists, the arrests of gun runners, the arrests of sex traffickers and human traffickers. And we've brought lots of people on the show to remind people that the border is not just about humanitarian crisis. It is a security crisis. And we have an amazing guest today. First-term Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis from the great state of New York, from Staten Island, Brooklyn, two of my favorite places when I grew up in the tri-state area years ago. The Congresswoman just came back with the House Minority Whip, Steve Scalise, who's been on the show, and many other lawmakers. And what she has witnessed, what she has described, is really remarkable. It is important news, and so we're going to bring her on the show today because we want you to hear firsthand not only what she witnessed, but what the Customs and Border Patrol, what the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents and leadership were telling her they need. They're pleading for help. They're pleading for pressure to get Joe Biden to reverse these policies and alleviate what is both a security and humanitarian crisis. And the Congresswoman is going to give us a firsthand account. Fresh back from her trip, she's got some very cogent things to say. We also want to ask her about her own home state's idea of giving $15,000 payments to illegal immigrants. A lot of people are talking about that idea. The Congresswoman's had a lot of sharp words for that idea. We should also ask her, because I think it's so important, why is New York bleeding so many residents and citizens? So many people, particularly the wealthier taxpayers, are fleeing New York because they're tired of the extraordinary budget burdens put on taxpayers to fund a lot of the liberal ideas that the Cuomo administration, the de Blasio administration, other are funding, like $15,000 payments to people who illegally entered this country. We're going to ask her about that as well. Really important stuff. So you want to stay tuned for that. Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis joining us in just a few minutes. We'll really want to see what we can. I'm sure we're going to get some big news out of that. Now, this morning, we've had a couple of really good stories at Just the News. My colleagues are doing great work. I'm so proud of them. We're breaking things out of the military, breaking things out of the Congress and the White House. And one of my favorite stories this morning came from our great congressional correspondent, Nick Ballasy. We've had him on the show. Great reporter. He has a unique eye to find things that others are missing. The secrets buried in congressional bills or the secrets involved in federal programs. And this morning, my gosh, does he have a good one. He discovered through reporting and actually through interviewing people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from New York, Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, Democratic leader of the Senate, that there is a FEMA program designed to help defray the cost of funerals for people who died in the COVID pandemic. It's a program that's been funded. It's one of those things that our government's trying to do to help out those who were victims. But here is the racket. According to the two lawmakers he talked to yesterday, this program is going to allow people who think their loved ones may, not guaranteed to have, but may have died from COVID, to alter their death certificates and qualify themselves for the $9,000 payment. Basically, go back and change a public record and say, listen, we didn't test my aunt, my uncle, my father, my mother, my brother, my friend, but we're just going to say, that we think they had COVID because we want that $9,000. What a racket. And guess what? According to the reporting Nick has done, illegal immigrants will be among those, if they died from COVID, that will be eligible for the $9,000 funeral reimbursement. Remarkable reporting by Nick, something hidden, concocted by the bureaucracy, by the Congress, to give more of your tax dollars away to people who we don't even have proof died of COVID. They didn't do the test, whatever. Basically, you can say, I think my loved one had COVID, so therefore I should get a payment. And you can go back and change the death certificate according to this reporting. If anyone's not concerned about that, let me know. If you are concerned about that, check out this story. It's a top justthenews.com. Well done article by my good colleague, Nick Ballasy, who's often breaking some great stories. Another one of our newest reporters who joined us. He's on the investigative team with me. I'm a huge fan of his early reporting. Greg Piper's joined us. He's doing a lot of great work in the cancel culture space. Some of the insanities that are going on college campuses. Just last week, we got the University of Nevada, Reno, to reverse a policy that its housing director had made that declared that there were a couple of living communities. I used to call them dorms, but apparently they call them living communities in colleges today, that were identity specific, meaning Black or Hispanic or whatever. And the initial indication from the housing director at this place was that whites would not be able to, or non-Blacks would not be able to go to the Black living community or the Hispanic living community. As a result of our reporting, as a result of Greg's reporting, the university was forced to reverse that. They said the official misspoke. I don't think he misspoke. We have him accurately quoted, but they changed the policy nonetheless. That's the sort of reporting that Greg Bird is doing. And today, there's a very important new development down in Georgia, a place that we're watching closely with the elections. And Greg reports that the Georgia Ethics Commission has confirmed to him that it has an ongoing probe of potential illegal campaign activities. That's the word, potential illegal campaign activities by a voter mobilization group, a get out the vote group that was formerly run and founded by, yep, you got it, Stacey Abrams, the number one figure on the Democratic side of Georgia, who was involved in the 2020 election and earlier elections. There's an ongoing investigation, according to the Ethics Commission, of the New Georgia Project, which has been so closely aligned with Stacey Abrams. She left that group a while ago, but clearly it continues to carry her imprimatur and was involved in her network of groups that got out the vote, the absentee vote that is so controversial in Georgia this past election. But one of the more interesting things that we learn in this report from Greg is that the group is fighting subpoenas. They do not want to give up documents. They're withholding documents and fighting subpoenas. If you have nothing to hide, you would think that this would not be a problem to show your cards and own up to what went on and allow the Ethics Commission to look at it. They're playing keep away, according to the commission. And as a result, well, there's a battle going on. And we're going to stay on top of this with FOIAs, with reporting and ground reporting. But Stacey Abrams' network of NGO, non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, were really influential. And she deserves a lot of credit for putting this system together in Georgia that helped Democrats win. Now the question is, was this system legal? Were the groups acting lawfully? Were they engaged in the proper activities? The Georgia Ethics Commission is trying to find out, and they're not getting the sort of cooperation they had hoped to get. So really important story from my great colleague, Greg, who's doing some really amazing frontline work. Check out that story. It's also on topjustthenews.com. All right, we're going to go to that commercial break like we always like to do. We love our sponsors and advertisers. If you hear something from them that you like, a service, a product, and there's so many good ones, by all means, please support them, because supporting them means you're supporting us. We can't put this show on. We can't run Just the News without the gracious support of our advertisers and sponsors. We're so grateful. The Home Title Locks, the Paint Your Life, the Kansas City Stakes, the Ancestry.com, so many different important players that support this show and support our website. Please let them know you love them because you love us. That'd be a great way to further our great reporting here at Just the News and John Solomon Reports. All right, let's take that commercial break, hear from our great sponsors, advertisers. When we come back, Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis, live here on John Solomon Reports, we're going to get a firsthand account of what's been happening at the Southwest border. Back after this. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, somebody who just came back from the southern border and knows exactly what the humanitarian crisis, the security crisis is there. And we're welcoming to the show for the first time, Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis. Welcome, Congresswoman. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Appreciate your interest in this issue. Definitely an important one for the country.
It is. I mean, if you go back just a few months ago, we had a very quiet, stable border with a border wall and low numbers of illegal immigrants crossing the border. And now we're in this incredible crisis. Tell us what you saw firsthand. Your descriptions were remarkable. I saw them on Twitter, saw them on TV. What did you see firsthand down there?
So, I mean, I think there's a misconception and people feel that, you know, the president announced that our borders were open and that people just coming over on their own. And really what's happening is there's a criminal operation being run by the smugglers and the cartels. And what we saw were basically the results of that, the consequences of that. It was very scary to think that the cartels have really taken control over our border, that CBP, our Customs and Border Patrol agents, who are remarkable, they have had their hands tied by this administration. And what I did see there was, you know, these facilities in which they are processing some of these asylum applications, less than 10% come with legitimate asylum claims. Donna facility, which is one of the holding facilities where they have children, many unaccompanied, without their parents. They're very upset. They're many crying. They don't know why they're there. They don't know, you know, where their families are. Very wow. Sad situation. But the reality is that this whole thing could have been avoided if President Biden had just kept in place the policies put in place by the Trump administration, we have seen an a rapid increase to 175,000 individuals that have crossed illegally.
Wow.
In the month of March. And the issue is they're not just coming from Central American countries. They're coming from over 60 countries around the world, by the way. We're represented at the Donna facility that we visited. But the issue really becomes a national security crisis when you realize that the smugglers and the cartels have created this migration to divert CBP attention and then commit all the nefarious acts through the open, porous part of our border. And so, you know, one of the units that we visited, you know, they alone, as one unit, were able to intercept, 20 AK-47s, and they were able to intercept thousands of pounds of cocaine, of heroin, fentanyl, meth. They have identified shacks that were set up in the United States of America where they had individuals who were being trafficked and then sold into sex trafficking or involuntary servitude. It's a lot of bad things that are happening as a result of this. And those were just the ones they were able to identify. Because remember, they are now short staffed. They're being assigned to process paperwork. They're being assigned to take care of the kids at the facility, to oversee these facilities. And so they're being taken away from their actual job, which is patrolling our border. And this is a major, major problem, very, very concerning. And it should concern everyone across this country because it's a national security public safety issue. It's also a humanitarian crisis when you see these children sleeping on top of each other. I mean, a facility that was meant for 250, capacity of 250, they have 4,000 individuals.
Wow.
Okay. And they're not screening for COVID. HHS does that when they're about to leave the facility, which could be like a month later. And the other issue then is the cost to the American taxpayer who are footing the bill for all of it. And the fact that the bad guys, the cartels, they're making $500 million a month doing this, and that our country is just sitting by and allowing this to take place. We have to get the president and the vice president to the border to see what we saw and hear what we heard. Those who want to add their name and push this should go to closebidensborders.com. I set up a website. I want Americans to add their name to closebidensborders.com. To send a message that American people don't support what he's doing and they want him to take action immediately to reverse those policies that he put in place on January 20th.
Wow, I didn't know about that website. That's pretty interesting. ClosBidensBorder.com, I have that right?
Yeah, Biden's Borders.
Biden's Borders.
There.
All right.
We'll have Close to. Biden's Borders.
Well, if you want your voice heard, there's a place to go, folks. That's a great idea. When you talk to the frontline enforcement people, the CPB, the ICE folks who you were with, what are they seeing as the greatest threats and what do they need? When you ask them, you know, what would be the ideal situation to get this under control? What are they telling you?
Well, first and foremost, they do want the policies reversed. They said that this was a preventable crisis. The policies that were put in place by President Trump were working, and they want President Biden to reverse it. Second thing that they suggested was, you know, if we put a court facility at the border where those asylum claims can be heard quicker, it would ease a lot of things because individuals who are released into the country and are given a court date, many of them don't show up. And
right.
The reason for that is less than 10% end up having a legitimate asylum claim. So there's multiple things that need to be done. I would say first and foremost, reverse the policies, reinstate cooperation with Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico in terms of individuals remaining in Central America as they await their court dates. So that's the second thing. And then adjudication, making it quicker, and that would be having the court at the southern border so they could hear those claims quicker. I think the cost of housing individuals and putting people in hotels, which is what they're currently doing, if you just heard these claims quicker, it would be a lot better, I think, for everyone involved.
Makes a lot of sense, common sense, and more efficient. When you look out, I heard you say this, and I think it's really important. Normally, when we have a crisis in America, there's a hurricane, there's a tornado, a devastating tornado, a bad shooting. The president, the vice president will go out to comfort the community, go down and inspect firsthand what's going on. But you're pretty disappointed that neither Vice President Kamala Harris or President Joe Biden have made an effort to go down there and see what crisis they've created. Do people down there feel they're being neglected? The residents, the workers, the mayors, the CPB workers, by not getting a visit from the top two people in this country?
No, absolutely. Look, the Customs and Border Patrol, they're begging for help. They are begging for help, and they want us to get the message out there. And this is why I've been doing so many interviews since I returned, because we need to get this message out there. There have been enough members of Congress now, bipartisan, that have visited the border, in which we are highlighting the humanitarian crisis, the national security issue, as well as the cost to the American taxpayer, which is completely unsustainable. Because it needs to be reversed. And I know that if the vice president were to go down there, which she absolutely should, she should have been there weeks ago when she was first
she's
appointed
in charge of this.
Head of the problem. You know, the fact that she hasn't gone there speaks volumes. I mean, she was in a bakery in Chicago, you know, eating cookies when meanwhile you have this devastation occurring at the southern border. And it's really unconscionable and irresponsible. She needs to get down there as soon as possible. And I know that if she makes the trip and she sees what we saw, here's what we heard, that they will reverse some of the policies that they've put in place. Because anyone who has a heart, anyone who has a brain will go down there and see. And I know that both of them will be logical about this. I have faith in that.
Yeah, there's nothing like firsthand witness to see what a crisis looks like. You can see it on television, you can hear people talk about it, but when you see it with your own eyes, you hear it, you listen, you interpret it and you absorb it in a way that you can't do from afar. When you look at the facilities where these children and migrants and others are being held, none of the COVID protections that we're told to apply by 6 foot distance, masking, none of that is present there. Are you worried about the potential of a COVID outbreak in one of these facilities, just given how much humanity we've crushed into a small space?
Well, absolutely. Individuals there have displayed symptoms. They would have a fever or they'd have some of the symptoms, but they're not being tested or isolated. And that is a major concern. But also think about this, the hypocrisy that the northern border, and I'm from New York, and the New York, you know, Canada border is closed for non-essential travel right now because of COVID. Meanwhile, they have a flow of individuals coming from the southern border with some displaying the symptoms of COVID, and nothing's being done about it, and they're being jammed in these facilities. Again, 250 capacity, there's 4,000 individuals. So it's very dangerous, and many are just being released back onto the streets where they can go, you know, spread COVID, unfortunately. And that should be a concern to everyone as well. But just really highlights the hypocrisy. And just to give the magnitude, or because like you said, unless you went and saw it for yourself, it's pretty difficult to kind of grasp, although you do see some images on television. You know, we're talking about 175,000 individuals in the month of March, which is a 15-year high. Okay, so no one could say that this was something that President Trump or even the previous Obama created.
Right.
This is simply a Joe Biden-created crisis, number one. But to put that into perspective for you, we're talking about a million people by mid-July that have crossed over illegally this year alone. That is more people than reside in Joe Biden's home state of Delaware or the vice president's home city of San Francisco. It's a massive amount of individuals who are crossing, and now the American taxpayer is paying for all the expenses related to the processing, to the housing, to the education, to the health care, to the immediate needs of these individuals. So it is a tremendous burden on the taxpayer. So I would highlight that, but I would say, you know, so from all angles, there are no winners here. It's a humanitarian crisis, a public safety crisis. CBPs are being overrun, and taxpayers are paying for it. The only winners here are the cartels, who are making about $500 million running this criminal enterprise.
It's just extraordinary, and it just defies the common sense that, you know, Americans are so used to expecting from their leaders, and you know, the solutions are waiting right there for them. Are you heartened at all by the announcements in the last 48 hours that there's going to be some downstream enforcement among our allies in Mexico and Latin America to try to slow the flow. Does that help at all? I mean, obviously it didn't solve the current crisis, but any sense that that might help ease down the road some of the crush of people that are coming across the border?
Well, it does appear that what we've been able to expose since this trip on Thursday has caught the attention of the administration officials. There was the resignation of the border czar. And then in addition to that, we did hear this announcement. I'm taking a wait-and-see approach to this, and I'm going to continue to advocate. I think it's important that we do cooperate once again with the Central American nations. I think that we're going to see things changing because they have to change. But we are having a hearing. I'm a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Right. So we are having a hearing tomorrow, which is great because it was a bipartisan hearing that the chairman called to talk about some of the issues with the migration. So I think this is a step in the right direction. I'm going to continue to highlight and advocate and push for common sense policies. Look, we have to deal with immigration. We should be doing it in a bipartisan fashion. We do need to modernize, streamline our system, but we need to enforce our laws. We need to implement visa entry exit tracking system. We need to implement E-Verify. We need to secure the border. We need to stop the stem the flow of the illegal immigration before we can actually address immigration as a whole. What Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi had introduced was amnesty. It was a radical bill that protected individuals who even committed crimes in this country. You know, that goes too far for Republicans, and we want common sense policies. We should have a process for citizenship, but people have to wait online. No amnesty. My parents are immigrants. My mom came from Cuba. She was a refugee. And what I tell people is that, you know, there was a process in place. It was order. What I saw at the border was complete disorder, chaos. And so I think that, you know, if we address those issues first, we can have a serious discussion about immigration if everyone actually wants to address the issue, right? Because yeah. I know that sometimes, unfortunately, in politics, they want to use it as a political issue, and that's wrong. These are people's lives that we're dealing with. So I think that there's a solution here, but it's got to be compromise, and we have to deal with the immigration, the illegal migrant flowing over the border now. We have to address the cartels, and we have to empower our agencies to be able to go after them. And then we need to deal with the immigration issue to modernize and streamline that system, but not amnesty and not protecting individuals who are committing crimes.
It makes a lot of sense. And I know a lot of people listening feel that way. I just want to take it one more place to bring this a little closer to home in New York, where, if I'm reading correctly, there are $15,000 payments being set aside for illegal immigrants who may have lost their job during COVID. You've been talking about the taxpayer being one of the many victims of this lawless policy. What do you see when you look at your own hometown providing payments to illegal immigrants?
It's absolutely outrageous. And this is one of the issues that I brought up during the COVID relief package, and why I could not support that package at the end of the day. No accountability for cities and states was just one part of this whole, the problem with that package. Aside from that, it was $1 trillion left unspent for the previous packages. It did all sorts of things that were unrelated to COVID. But one of the big things I brought up was the need for the mayor and the governor to respect the taxpayers. If they were going to get this aid, to not raise taxes. And I said that they were going to try to eat their cake and have their cake and eat it too, which is exactly what they ended up doing.
Yep.
And for some reason, the Democrats would not require them to freeze taxes or allow them to lower taxes. So what they did instead was they raised taxes. And so not only did they raise taxes, but then they're spending it so frivolously. If you are an individual who is single and you earn $80,000, you get no stimulus check. But if you are here illegally now in the state of New York, you will get a payout. You will get unemployment. And this is coming to the tunes of about $2 to $3 billion to the American New York taxpayer. And
wow.
So I have real grave concerns about this. It's inappropriate use of taxpayer money. We want accountability. We're going to try to get some answers regarding this. But it just goes to show you how cities and states with their sanctuary policies, New York also provides free college for those who are in the country illegally. All of these policies just further incentivizes the migration.
Yeah.
And again, we are a generous nation. We're the most generous nation in the world. We welcome immigrants, including my own parents. But we have to have a process. We need to have order, and we need to ensure that individuals are following the laws. And we can't incentivize those who are doing it the wrong way, and those who have broken the law, and those who are even in some cases have committed crimes in this country, yeah, or sex offenses, have been previously deported and are reentering our border.
It's absolutely crazy. I know there's one last question. The great flight that's going out of New York, you're seeing a lot of people exodus New York because of the tax issue and these things. Is New York, at what point does the flight of taxpayers, the flight of citizens out of the state start to catch the attention of those who are creating policies, driving them out of the state?
You know, I've been talking about this for
you
years because I was a rep before of being elected to Congress this year. And the issue really is that the under one party Democratic rule in New York, there's a complete disregard for the taxpayer. They think there's a bottomless pit or there's a tree that grows money somewhere. And they don't understand that taxpayers are not ATMs. And what they don't understand is that if you tax the wealthy and they leave, it's the middle class that's left holding the bag.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we're seeing. Unsustainable amounts of spending from Mayor de Blasio, from Governor Cuomo, and the state budget that they just passed, over $200 billion. It's the most expensive state budget outside of California. And California has twice as many residents, but we're very close in the spending. Twice as much spending than the state of Florida, that has 3 million more residents. So it's unsustainable. And I keep sounding the alarm, but as long as they continue to spend like drunken sailors, and no offense to any of the sailors listening, we're going to have a major issue. I'm hoping that we elect someone next year for governor that will be more respectful of the taxpayers and be more fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
And we got to get back to the basics on what government's supposed to be doing.
Such
spending
a great
money
point.
On things that, you know, actual things that people expect, like public safety and education and making sure that you can get to work, if there's transportation, that the traffic flows. These are the things that our government, local government, should be spending money on. But instead, they go in all sorts of different areas, as the $2 billion you just mentioned that will go to people who are not citizens of this country. And it's becoming ridiculous, quite frankly. And that is why we have seen a population loss. I'm here in New York, and I'm going to keep fighting and try to advocate for common sense policies. But, I'm outnumbered, certainly, but we're going to continue to fight. I'm the only Republican that represents New York City in the federal level right now. And so,
remarkable.
But it's important that there's a counterbalance and at least some viewpoint, alternative viewpoint to what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is spewing. So
she does get a lot of attention, doesn't she? Well, we're so grateful that your voice is not only being heard in New York, but all across the country. What you did at the border is so important, giving us witness to what's really going on there. And Congresswoman, I can't wait to get you back on the show. I want to thank you for spending so much time and making us a lot smarter about what's going on around the world.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And again, everyone should go and sign up at closebidensborders.com. Let your voice be heard.
All right, guys. That's a good idea. There you go. We're going to put that URL up inside the story today. So thank you, Congresswoman.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. All right, folks. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and wrap things up for the day. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening and downloading, sharing the word. I think the Congresswoman really gave us a sort of firsthand account we can't get, particularly not from the mainstream news media, which office is suppressing or distorting what's going on at the border. But here's a person who took the time to go down there, something President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have not done yet. But she went down there. She saw it firsthand. She's reporting what she saw. Children in a humanitarian crisis, packed in the midst of the COVID pandemic in tight quarters, not being tested until they leave the facilities, which creates, as she said, the potential for a rapid spread of the virus in a bad scenario, and so many other things. Really important to hear what the Congresswoman said that the CPB and ICE agents, officials, leaders are saying. They want the Trump policies restored, according to this Congresswoman. She knows because she talked to them. It's consistent with what Mark Morgan, the former CPB director, our commissioner, told us on this show recently, what the sheriff from Arizona told us. We've had many important border voices. Ron Johnson heard the same thing when he went down as a senator to the border. Lots going on. It's so good to be able to get a firsthand account. That's why we do this podcast, why we have justthenews.com. Now, before you go, I just want to shout out one of the great sponsors and supporters of this program, because they've got a great product, Home Title Lock. It sounds like a fun name until you realize that what it really is a very important protection. You just heard about the Facebook breach not that long ago of all the identity information that may have been stolen by hackers and shared across the internet. You may be in that group. Well, this home title theft trend is real. And it's scary because it only takes one time for a cyber thief to get a hold of your personal information, forge your signature, do a quit claim deed, get your home, take ownership of your home on paper, and then either run up a debt that you're going to be responsible for or try to sell the house from underneath you. This is scary stuff. And in the aftermath of the Facebook breach, even more scarier because there's so much personal information out there about so many Americans. So you want to put a stop to this? You want to say, hey, no more. We're not doing this anymore. I'm protecting my most valuable asset, my home. You can do what I did. Go to HometitleLock.com. You register your address, your home address. See if you're a victim already. If you're not, whew, you're in great shape. But sign up then for a 30-free-day trial of this protection capability that Home Title Lock offers. It is risk-free. You can check it out. You can always cancel if you don't like it. I think it's an amazing offer. HometitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO, radio, because you heard us on this show. And check out this great protection program. Also, just check out and find out if someone's already tried to pull a swindle on your most important asset, your home, the home you own. All right, folks, that wraps it up for another day. Thank you. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, have a good night. If you need that news fix, you know where to go. JustTheNews.com. We got you covered 24/7. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.